Okay, we are starting the Mishnah, Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, the second Mishnah. Ventei Tzishana V'yemecha Chabal Yaventei. A 9-year-old that lives with his Yivama, Chaletas V'leimis Umeis, and he dies. Chaletas V'leimis Yavemis, because it's a mimer. And since it's considered like a mimer, so what happened was, Reuven died. Reuven was an adult, married to a woman, he died. His 9-year-old brother lived with her. That's like mimer. Now he died. This woman is falling biblically from Reuven and rabbinically from Shimon. She's called Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, second Mishnah. And rabbinically from Shimon. So therefore she's considered like an Eishes Shnei Meisim, and there's no Yibam allowed, but she needs Chalitza biblically because of Reuven and rabbinically because of Shimon. So therefore, Chalitza takes care of Levi, who's an adult, will do Chalitza and take care of her and free her to get married. Rashi, Ben Teishe Shana V'yemecha Chabal Yivem Toyumez, Chaletzes Lemis Avemes, Yeshul Azika Shnei Yivamim, because she's coming behind of two Yivamim. Number one, Shabbat Maimer Zeh Liyotas Amidei Zikas Nefila Rishayna, because this Maimer did not take her out of Reuven's bound, Deraisa. V'chol Ala Zikas Nefila Shnia, however, it rabbinically bound her to Shimon. So now when Shimon died, she's falling from two places. It's not the Perek of Ba'achim. Misha la'zikas yav mecha, but lo shal la'zikas shnei yavamim. Nasa isha omeis.
It's just this one
chalitza.
There's nothing else.
Nothing else to do. Nasa isha omeis. Shimon married. 9-year-old married. Can't make a kinyan. It is worthless. Therefore, I do ptura, and if Shimon dies, his wife is not a wife. And therefore, she's free to get married to anybody else. She was never married to Shimon. Since she was never married to Shimon, it doesn't work. So she doesn't need any Yibam. Rashi, Nasa Isha She'eni of Emtai, regular wife, V'loyachin, he has brothers, Harizub Tura, the Avagam to be us to be a, even though for Yavama's sake, we considered it, meaning even though physically he's capable of a relationship, he's over 9, Kedusha V'eni Kedushin. However, his marriage requires an acquisition, and his Kedushin don't count because there ain't King and Cut and Klum. Because a Kenya cotton cannot acquire Achiyavi Beisaris until he brings Beisaris. I will be Yavama, Hayul Skukale, Shavi Rabban and Kamimer. But Yavama, since there's a bond, they let that acquisition happen rabbinically. Whereas by no bond, regular woman, marriage, they didn't create a rabbinic marriage.
So his name gets lost, sort of.
Yes, it's like he wasn't married. What happens, Rahman al Islam, somebody dies without being married? Whatever happens to him, happens to him. Now, Tysus over here says that even though there's no kinyan at all, a 9-year-old gets married, there's no kinyan. It is if the father marries a woman to his daughter, the cotton, it is considered a good thing to do. It's a mitzvah. Even though it's not a real marriage, it's not even a rabbinic marriage. But if he has an 11-year-old boy and he gets him a wife, the father finds him a wife, and they live together as husband and wife with no kinyan, it's a mitzvah. And then when he turns 13, he will turn this into a marriage. It's a mitzvah to know that your children are married young. Even under bar mitzvah, now under bat mitzvah, a father has a biblical right to accept kedushin. A father does not have a biblical right to marry off a kid, a woman to his daughter. Nor does he have a rabbinic power to do it. But the Rabbanan considered a mitzvah to find your little boy a wife, even though they will live together out of wedlock till he turns 13 and she turns 12, and that, but it's a mitzvah to have it done. It's a taisus right here, it's a small taisus. It's a very big kiddush, but taisus says it, and the truth is Shlaima Melech is the proof. Shlaima Melech got married at 12. Where was the kiddush? Who was the Kedushin? Married when he was 12 years old. The answer is... What? I can't hear you, what?
That's the first
Tosa? Yeah. Mitzvah Nami. Mitzvah Nami Ikala Haithi Isha
Katan. If the 9-year-old, does he have a Kesuba? Does he write a Kesuba?
It's as meaningless as his Kedushin. Whether he has to go through the motions, I don't even know. Maybe he does, but it's a meaningless thing. It's not a marriage. When he turns 13, this will then become a new marriage. But What it does is it keeps him out of trouble. By having a wife, living as a husband and wife, it keeps him out of trouble.
Does he have to do any action after 13?
Live with her.
No rewriting or anything?
Well, if he has to ksuba, you have to write a ksuba at that point. I don't know the halachas. There is a shittas re Barzili, the Rishon, that says that a father has a biblical right, power to marry off his son. The question is what the source is. The Torah never says it officially, but that's what all the Achrayim talk about. The Avni Miluim and Simon Aleph, the first piece Avni Miluim, talks about this shita. Where is the source that a father should have a biblical right to marry off his daughter? But that shita does exist, but that's not the commonly held shita by most Rishonim. They all say it's not a marriage at all, but it's a mitzvah. But it's a mitzvah. Zog d'gemara v'ayter, zog d'mishnah v'ayter. Now, we're going to have to hold a little bit, we have to hold cup, meaning we have to get the case straight. And this case is going to contradict a halacha that we said previously. So we have to keep tabs. The Gemara is going to show the contradiction. Ben teish nishanim v'yay mecha tshaba yivemtai. Reuben died. Shimon, his 9-year-old brother, lived with the Yavama, which we consider a mimer. U'mishahig dil nati ishak aras emes. Shimon turns 13 and marries a different lady. So Shimon now has two wives, theoretically. He lived with Reuven's wife, we'll call her Rachel, and then he married Shprinza, who is his wife that he married, not related to Rachel at all. He got a real biblical wife, his own wife, nothing to do with Yibo. Umeis, and then Shimon died. So he leaves over, at this point, his real wife and his brother's wife, who he lived with at 9 years old. Let's get the case straight. Imlo yadas rishayna mishahigdo. What if he never lived with her again after he turned 13? Which means he never did Yibum. Had he lived with her once he turned 13, lived with the Yavama, he would have had two biblical wives. One is the Yavama that he acquired biblically. One is his own wife that he acquired biblically. And if he died, he would be a man that died and left two wives. One of them would need Yibum or Chalitza, and the other one would go free. This boy, never lived with his Yavama after he turned 13. So that means he never made it biblical. He had a rabbinic relationship with Reuven's wife and a biblical relationship with his own wife. That's what his status is, right? Reuven died, left over a woman called Rachel. Shimon lived with her, which was a mimer.
When he was 9.
But between 9 and 13. It could be 12, it could be 11,
whatever.
I don't care. Whatever.
He was under
13. Exactly. And then he turned 13 and he married a different woman. And he never lived with Rachel once he turned 13. Either he didn't get a chance, or they weren't getting along, whatever the reason is. And then Shimon died. So now he leaves over two wives, a biblical wife and a rabbinic wife. His biblical wife is the one he married after 13. That's a regular wife. And he left over Rachel, who is rabbinically his wife, through Mimer. He did Mimer. So what happens now? Levi, a brother now, what should he do to these two women that are waiting? Reuven's wife, who was also Shimon's rabbinic wife, and Shimon's wife. Zok the Mishnah. Reuven's wife cannot have Yibum, because since she's bound to Shimon rabbinically, she's coming from two houses. She's coming from Reuven's house biblically and from Shimon's house rabbinically, so she can get Chalitza and she cannot get Yibum. This is the Chiddush now. Hashniya, oy chaletzes oy mishevemes. But Shimon's real biblical wife, it's coming only from Shimon's house, and she can have Yibum, even though she's rabbinically a co-wife with a woman who can't have Yibum. It doesn't affect her status. That's what the Mishnah is saying. We look at her as a biblical wife of Shimon. Even though Shimon had a wife named Rachel rabbinically, and that wife wasn't eligible for Yibum, and now this wife is a tzara, is a co-wife rabbinically, doesn't affect her. Reuven's wife can only get Chalitza. Shimon's wife can get Yibum. That's what this Mishnah is saying. And this will be a point of contention in the Gemara. Because what we're doing is, we're saying, here is Reuven's wife, can't have Yibum because she's bound to Shimon. Because she's rabbinically Shimon's wife. So from Shimon's wife, Shimon is leaving two wives, a biblical one and a rabbinic one. We would think, Misvara, that we would say, you can't do Yibum to either of the two, because one is a coming from two houses, and the other one is a tzara of the lady coming from two houses. She's a co-wife. The Mishnah is saying, she's unaffected. Even though she's a co-wife rabbinically, with a woman who can't have Yibum, she can have Yibum. So Levi can go give chalitza to Reuven's wife, who was Shimon's wife rabbinically, and then give Yibum to Shimon's wife. That means he's doing chalitza to one of Shimon's wives, his rabbinic wife, and Yibum to the other of Shimon's wives. Usually you don't let Reuven do Yibum to one wife and chalitza to a different wife. If Shimon would die and leave two biblical wives, and Levi gives chalitza to one, he's not allowed to marry the other. They didn't do Yibum, he can't do Yibum. Here, Shimon left two wives, a rabbinic wife and a biblical wife. And the rabbinic wife cannot receive Yibum, gets to get chalitza from Levi. So she gets chalitza. Now Levi can do Yibum to Shimon's biblical wife, even though she was a co-wife with a woman who received chalitza.
But on the other ones, when you got a regular wife and a shnia, right? That was biblical, correct?
When he marries two wives, it's biblical. Right. Here, it's not biblical. Right. One is biblical, one is rabbinic. But the rabbinic wife received chalitza. You would think once you did chalitza to the rabbinic wife, you can't do yibum because you can't do yibum after you gave chalitza to one of the wives. The answer is, since it was only a rabbinic marriage, we let you do yibum to the other wife.
Deemed in by a gadol that did maimer only?
Theoretically, yes. Fact, yes. Which is a contradiction to a previous mishnah that we had. That's why I'm spending a few minutes on this. Because the mishnah here is saying a very big chiddush. The rule is, a man dies and leaves two wives. You cannot do chalitza to one and yibum to the other. Once you did chalitza to one, you're not allowed to do yibum to the second wife. Once you did chalitza, you decided not to do yibum. It's called kivin shloy bana shuv lo yivna. You're not allowed to do yibum to the tzara. According to one mandiyama, I would even be karis if you did it. According to the other mandiyama, it's a lav. But you're not allowed to. Here, Levi is giving chalitza to Shimon's rabbinic wife. He's giving it because she's also Reuven's wife. But he's giving chalitza to Shimon's rabbinic wife. And then Shimon has another wife that's biblical. One could make the argument, which the Mishnah does earlier in the Masechta, that since you did chalitza to one of Shimon's wives, albeit it was rabbinic, but it was one of his wives, you no longer can do yibum to the other one.
He's doing it because of a different house.
But again, the bottom line is he's doing chalitza to Shimon's wife, the rabbinic wife. I'm not arguing with you. I'm trying to explain the Mishnah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your bottom line is he's doing chalitza to one of Shimon's wives. You could make an argument that he can't do yibum to the other one of Shimon's wives, even though one's rabbinic and one's biblical, because you did chalitza to one of his wives. The Rabbanan considered him his wife. Dr. Mishnah, no. You can't do yibum to Shimon's wife because it came from two houses, but it doesn't affect the other one of Shimon's wives that's biblical. That's the chiddush of this Mishnah. That you give chalitza to Reuven's wife, who's also Shimon's wife rabbinically, and then you can do yibum to Shimon's biblical wife.
Has to be in that order?
Well, once you do, does it have to be in that order? No. If you hold, you can, no.
But you still have to give chalitza to the first
wife. That's because she's Reuven's wife.
Right. Either wife could marry a Kohen.
The other wife, meaning...
Either one
can
marry a
Kohen. Chalitza can't marry a Kohen. That is the first shita. Reb Shimon Aymer, Mevayabim Leizu, Sheyirtza, V'chaylitz L'shniya. Reb Shimon says, there's no ban on marrying a woman who comes from two houses. There's no such iser. And therefore, Reuven died, Shimon did Maimer. Shimon died, left over a rabbinic wife and a biblical wife. If you want to, you can do Yibum to either one of the two, and then Chalitza to the other one. You do Yibum to Reuven's wife, it's fine, because the fact that she's also Shimon's wife doesn't bother us, rabbinically. And you Chalitza to the other one, because the bottom line is, one's coming from Reuven's house, one's coming from Shimon's house. You can't do Yibum to both, because since one of them is also Shimon's wife, you can't do two. You can't marry both of Shimon's wives.
Only rabbinically.
Doesn't make a difference. They don't want you marrying both of Shimon's wives. But Reb Shimon does not hold that the woman who is biblically bound to Reuven and rabbinically bound to Shimon cannot have Yibum. Does not hold that way. He holds she can have Yibum. There's no Isser of coming from two houses. That's a biblical law. It has nothing to do with it. So rabbinic Isser. Mimer's rabbinic. Biblically speaking, she never came from Shimon's house. Zakhtirashi. Imla Yadas Rishina Mishig Rishina Kalatas Lemi Sevamas. The Zikishna Yavamala. One of these women are coming from two houses. However, he never lived with her after he's 13. She never left the bond to Reuven. The less Reb Shimon does not hold that there's a problem coming from two houses. This argument already took place in the third parak. Because they're really not co-wives. But you can't do Yibum to both. Since rabbinically they're co-wives, it will look like you're being miyabim two wives from one house. So yibum is not allowed to both, but you can do yibum to any one and chalitza to the other. Zuck the Mishnah Vayter. Echadu ben teshanim yemechad, echadu ben esrim shlehevi shtei saris. It makes no difference whether a guy is 9 or 20 and he has no shtei saris. Meaning, the age of becoming a biblical gadol depends on having shtei saris. The guy can be 18 years old. If he has no shtei saris, he's a katan. He's as good as a 9-year-old. He has no acquisition biblically. So when the Mishnah talks about a 9-year-old, we're talking about till he becomes an adult. And as the Gemara will explain, there's three ways to become an adult. At 13, and he develops shtei saris. At 20, if he has some money saris, which means besides not having state saris, he has a whole list of things that we had listed in the eighth parak that show he's saris, he has inability to have children, right? His voice is different, we have his whole list of things.
He's a
gadol. And if he doesn't have neither the negatives of samani saris nor the positives of state saris when he turns 35 years old. Those are the three ways a person becomes an adult. So, age is not a determining factor as long as he's 13. Less than 13, he can't become a gadol. Over 13, it's not a given. It's not a slam dunk that he's a gadol. He also needs shtei saris. Now, that shtei saris can develop at any point. Shtei saris before 13, pashtus is meaningless, correct.
And today we don't check for any of that.
We don't check because what we do mostly is rabbinic things. And rabbinically, there's a thing called chazaka de Rava. Rava tells us in Gemara Masechtas Nida that we assume most children, overwhelming majority of children, develop shtei saris the day they turn 13. And therefore we can rely on that majority and assume that he's a gadol. And we rely on that at anything rabbinic, which means getting aliyah, leading benching, laning, all those things. We rely on the fact that a 13-year-old is a gadol. We don't let him.
We don't let him. In other words,
because that's biblical. Anything biblical, we don't let him until he starts growing a beard that shows us the shtei saris.
Before
I mean, we don't go check him, so therefore we wait till he grows a beard.
You wouldn't let a 14-year-old be tired of someone.
No.
Hatar Sadorn, rely on him?
Good question. Very good question. Excellent question.
What?
Excellent question.
What's the tariff?
Probably.
What was the question?
Not. Biblical. Most people don't know that halacha. The question was, can you lose a 13-year-old for Hataras Nedarim? The whole world's make of this. You go to yeshiva, the 13-year-olds are doing Hataras Nedarim to each other. It's a lack of knowledge to a certain extent, and that Hataras Nedarim is like an extra anyway, because it's really not the real Hataras Nedarim. So that's why people do what they do. But it is a problem. Very well brought up.
Why is it not the real Hataras?
Because you're supposed to specify the netter. So we use this clause, even though I'm supposed to specify the netter, but you should know there's so many that I can't specify them, so make believe, let it be like I specified them. That's what we say. That's like a, you know, if it works, it works. How have I? I mean, Kaisa doesn't waste its time, but it's not the real Altars of Dharm. That's why it's brought down. If you know something specifically, you should speak it out, because that would work. There's another halacha that, by the way, once I'm on the subject, there's another halacha that people don't know about Hataras Nedarim. A dayan to be on Hataras Nedarim has to know one halacha. To be qualified for Hataras Nedarim, he has to know one halacha. He has to know that there are two ways to remove a neder, and he has to know what they are. Even though he's not using them, he has to be aware of their existence. There's a thing called charata. The person says, I'm sorry I made the neder, I changed my mind. The other one is a Pesach. Had I known something, I wouldn't have done it. There's a difference between the two. Two different approaches to how to remove an eder. The dayan of Hataras Nedarim has to be aware that there are two different approaches to remove the darm, even though he's only using charata. That's what the person says in his Hataras Nedarim. But he has to be aware of that halacha. Again, a very little known halacha. But a dayan in Hataras Nedarim has to know the difference between a Pesach and Charata. Just has to know it.
Why don't we add that but had I known into the halacha?
Because had you known what? If you don't remember what to do, you don't even know which netter you're removing. You don't even know. You're saying, whatever it is, I'm removing it. How can you say, had you known?
The people, I didn't know that those halachas. I did not know that you have to be. If you know what nether you made, then you have to specify it.
You should. Have to is a very hard word. You should. Because that's the way real Hataras Nedarim works. Like this year, I specified two things that I wanted removed. But then they're removed. The other way, it becomes a Shiloh. Okay.